The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good evening, and welcome to the second Sunday of Lent. I pray that your Lent is off to a good start and that your praying, fasting, and almsgiving is going well and bearing fruit. And if it's not, we're only 2 weeks in, so you have plenty of time to really kick it in. I want you to think of a moment in your lives where you have a positive secret, something that's affirming, that you kept within yourselves, even from your spouse. Maybe that was saving for a big family vacation. Maybe it was a dog that you guys are going to purchase next week at the school auction. Maybe it's a gift for your spouse. Think of that. And then think when you reveal that to your spouse. She received a little bit of the glimmer, the joy, the laughter, whatever that gift was. And then finally, when the moment came for you to share and relieve that, reveal it to the family, think of the joy, the laughter, the experience, the utter love that was sensed in that room. Maybe it was a new pregnancy. Maybe it was that trip to Disneyland. Remember what you felt like the first time your children saw Mickey Mouse going through there, the joy. Now, please don't write any letters. I'm not equating heaven to the magical kingdom. But I'm having to try to give a point, to give us a little idea of the reality what Jesus and his disciples were facing on this time. Jesus was, in a sense, guarding a secret. He knew fully what his mission was. He had two natures, fully human and fully divine. They were both equal. They were both working, mingling together. And he chose not to reveal it until his time had come. And he did it slowly. And the glory of God was not fully manifested until on Mount Tabor, when we read the story in today's gospel. But why did he do that then, and what was going on? In the chapter preceding this, in the Gospel of Mark, Peter had just confessed who Jesus was. He says, "You are the Son of Man." And then Jesus begins to then predict his passion, his death, his suffering, everything that he had to go to Jerusalem to accomplish for our redemption. And then comes the transfiguration, where the glory of God is revealed. Do you see what's happening? He knew the weakness of his disciples. He knows and knew the weakness of our human nature, our lack of trust. He knew that Peter, our first pope, was going to deny him three times during that Holy Week. So he needed to give them something. And that's why he chose to reveal it to Peter, James, and John. To give them hope. That amidst the cross, the suffering, the struggles, there's hope. Because the cross is victorious, and we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story. That he rises from the dead on the third day. And he tells them, there are some of you here standing here that will not taste death, but the kingdom of God and glory will be revealed to them. But what else happened here? Very important. It's mentioned in St. Luke's Gospels. It's not mentioned in Mark's. But they said he went up the mountain. He went up the mountain to pray. To pray. What does that mean? That means he was in relationship with his Heavenly Father. He had completely abandoned his will to that of the Father. And when he was in union with what the Father wanted, his sonship, even though that entailed sacrifice, the glory of God was manifested. Let me say that again. Sonship denotes sacrifice. That's us also. Sonship denotes sacrifice. But what we learn on Mount Tabor is that the glory of the transfiguration denotes the importance of suffering. That's part of our Christian journey. Joy is not an emotion. It is sent in a decision to have belief in Jesus Christ risen from the dead in our lives. So what does the word transfigured mean? There's two roots, trans and figura. Trans meaning across. Figura is to shape. So Jesus, his human body changed. It became glorious. Also predictions of hopefully in the resurrection what will happen to our bodies. But who appeared there with him? Moses and Elijah. Why? And today when Father prays the preface, listen, my homily is all contained in the preface today. Because Moses was the giver of the law. The law was given to him. Remember, he too ascended the mountain. Anytime in the scriptures, when you hear an ascent to the mountain, there's some type of relationship or issue with God that's going to happen. So Moses goes to Mount Sinai, he receives the law, he comes down when he's in conversation with God, and the Israelites can't even see him because he's shimmering his face because he's been there. And then Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets. So Jesus Christ appears with Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, telling us what? That the Word made flesh, the eternal Word of God, the big W, has come down now from heaven, dwells among us. And he is the new temple. He is now the new form of worship. It's all in him. And he's going to suffer, he's going to die, but he's going to rise again. So he does this to strengthen the faith of his apostles, to give them hope. That amidst all the struggles that they would face, it's good news, and there's a joyful message. What's this relevance of this today? Is this just a great story, or does it have relevance for us today? I want you to think, all you have to do is turn on the news and look at all the devastation that happens in our society. The horrible tragedy that happened in Florida less than 2 weeks ago. Or the violence against women and children that we hear about day in or day out. Or whatever struggles that you're dealing with personally, the struggles that you even dealt with to get here. Some home situation, some work situation, some financial situation. The cross doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer, that we're not going to have struggles and pain. What it tells us is we have hope. And nothing should fill us with so much pain and suffering that we forget the joy of Christ risen. St. Mother Teresa tells us that. And what brought you here this evening? Why are you here in church? What are you experiencing? Are you experiencing the manifestations of God's glory? Are you in personal relationship with God? Are you experiencing your sonship in deep unity and prayer? I always get a chuckle. We'll be here at Mass at the closing song and we'll say, "No joy can shake my inmost calm. How can I keep from singing?" People leave the church, including myself, and they're usually angry at someone, or they see some hopelessness thing and they're like, "Oh my gosh." Or people get fixated on some political issue or ideology and they're like pit bulls. They just won't let it go. And they go, go, go. And then that becomes their God. That becomes what they push for. But we have a God. We're in need of a Savior. We need him. Doing the other, making these other things our God, that's a form of a heresy. It's called Pelagianism, saying that we don't need a God, that our mortal will is here to solve all these things. If you're here, I think we're in need of a God. Are we in relationship? Are we experiencing that? That's what we're called to do. Remember, sonship denotes sacrifice. But glory confirms the sacrifice. Look at Abraham. When he ascended the hill, that beautiful first reading from Genesis that we heard, he was completely adapted to what God's plan was, that he was willing to give his only son back to God after so many years of infertility. But he listened to God in the bad, and he also listened to God in the good. That it was the same. He was faithful. That is why he is our father in faith, because he had complete obedience, faith to the will of the Father. It's not easy, but that's where our joy comes from. Our joy comes because Jesus Christ is risen. He's victorious. In the end, he will win. Pope Francis reminds us that at times we Christians, Catholics, look like a bunch of funeral directors when we're in church. That we don't look happy. We don't look joyful. We should look different. People should want, "I want what he has. I want what she has." It should be like an infectious virus that people get close to us and it just goes. Nothing hurt my heart more this week watching the CNN town hall debate on gun control or violence. And this may be controversial, but it shows how we must be different. There was a lot of anger, and of course there's anger, towards the young man that committed this horrific, violent, evil act. Uncomprehensible how a human being could do that. But the words and names that he was being called was painful. And I looked at my wife and said, "Where in that crowd is there not one Christian, one Catholic, to stand up and say, of course his actions were evil. You can't even imagine it. But he is a child of the Father. He had a mother and a father who had hopes for him one day. We never give up on anyone. There's always room for redemption. That is the cross. And if we do not believe that and accept it, then we need to spend more time on our knees. Because we must be a people of hope and a people of joy. Jesus Christ was transfigured so our hearts would be transformed. That is for us. 2 times we hear the scriptures, at Jesus' baptism and again at the transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." So as we continue to journey through this Holy Week, our lives, as we approach the end of our own lives, let us remember to listen to him, to be in prayerful obedience to his will, so that the glory of God may be manifested in us and then contagious among other people. Amen.